Said it went down. There was a real furnace. There were some real boys. They really went into it. They really came out of it. They didn't have any smoke on them. They were still wearing pantyhose. I'm thank God I don't live in that day. Amen. Their hair wasn't singed. They still had their eyebrows. They still had their beards. They had everything. They went through the fire. Verse number 28, the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar spake, as we just read. And I want you to notice verse number 28, those of you who have young people in our youth group, and we love them all. When our girls, our young lady section is moving over here. We praise God for these young people. We love them in the Lord. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you, Brother Jacob. We love them in the Lord. Amen. We're pulling for young people. Amen. We want young people to make it. Amen. What we want, and we're thankful. You know, there are some people, churches, they don't like young people around because they scratch walls and they do things. I say that's life. Amen. That's life. But there's in verse number 28, quite frankly, is our goal. My goal as the pastor of this church is God's goal. But if there was a focus that I have for youth ministry, it's found in verse number 28, and it's this, that they have yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. I recognize that the young people in the youth group are in a transition. My young children now, I got 11, 8, 6, one on the way, just in case you did not know. I got all that going on and all that. And all of this is just transition. I'm just moving them from one point to another in my family, in my own life, and then in their Sunday schools and their school life and all these things. I am just moving them on as a steward of their life. I am moving them on to a place. And my ultimate goal, their goal for their life is simply this, that whatever they do, wherever God sends them, is that they would yield their bodies to God and they wouldn't serve nor worship any god except for their own God. My desire is, as a parent, is that as my children grow up into adulthood, and maybe God sends them to a foreign field, maybe God sends them to a foreign place like Sacramento or Rio Linda or somewhere far away from my home. Maybe God does some of those things, but the bottom line is this, that they are able to pass the test of life. And that's what we have here. This was a test. It was a test of the God of Israel and the test of the God of Nebuchadnezzar. It was not only a test of that, but it was also a test of character. It was a test of training. It was a test of parents taking what their kids are and teaching them all these things before they got thrust into Babylon. You recognize in the book of Daniel, I'm going to be preaching on parenting, and there's not any parents mentioned here. But there were parents there. Somebody had some influence. Somebody taught their kids how to think. Somebody taught their kids how to act. Somebody taught their kids how to stand. Somebody taught their kids about some faith. And somebody taught their kids about making tough choices. Would you say amen? And my hope and desire for my own prayer, for my own children is this. I hope I get to see them and live in a ripe old age. Today, my mom becomes a great-grandmother. Praise the Lord, Mom. Amen. Today, my baby niece, who's not a baby anymore, she having a baby of her own. And today, my mom becomes a great-grandmother. I relish being able to call her that. Amen. My desire is that God so allows me to be a great-granddaddy that my children and my children's children are still yielding their bodies to God and not worshiping any God but their own God. Amen. Pew Research and other places tell us that over 70% of young people like this right here and like those down in our junior church right now, or however many are down there with Rocky and Faith right now, over 70% of our young people are going off to Bible college, are going off to college and walking away from church. We are losing the battle. Our kids are not passing the test. They're not passing the test. This morning I want to begin preaching a long sermon. You say every sermon is long. I'm talking about for the next couple of weeks. We're going to look at this one thought from Daniel chapter 1 and chapter number 3. Of fireproofing your kids. Fireproofing your kids. See, the question isn't, and you're going to hear me say this again next week. The question isn't will they go through the fire. The question is will they even make it to it? Will they even begin to make decisions and choices and stands that would lead them that far? We have a generation of young people, and we have for some time, there are now adults raising young people who have not even made it to the test of the fire because they're already down bending, bowing before the false god. They've not even made it that far. Life is a series of tests. That's what we find out about Daniel. That's what we find out about these three Hebrew boys. I cannot wait next week as we get into there and understand about the name change that was going on in there. Make no mistake, our culture is seeking to change our kids into a certain image. If it won't kill them, it wants to conform them. Hello? I want you to ask yourself a question right now, and I know you can't really answer it. But I want every parent in the room to ask yourself this question. Would your child bend, or have they been willing to burn? Have they been taught enough? Do they have the resolve, the conviction, and the faith to put their lives on the line for their own God? How do we develop young people to live with resolve like this? In the absence of parental oversight and a spiritual safety net like a church and in a hostile environment, these youth stood for God, willing to walk into their death than to compromise true worship. They were willing to do it. They were willing to walk into a fiery furnace. You know what they said? They said, there's no debating this. Oh, King, we're not careful to answer you. They weren't weighing the consequences. They had already chosen obedience. Amen. They knew from the very time that they did not bow amongst all the thousands of their own that bowed. They knew from that very moment that they were standing up and they were marked men. And they said, we already stood up back there. We've already come this far. We didn't stand up back there to bow down again. So yes, our God can deliver us. But if not, we still, in the deep Hebrew says this, ain't changing. Amen. We're not altering that which we've been taught, that which we've been given. We're going to weather the storm, and they weathered this storm. They weathered this test. We've already read from the text this morning that they not only came through the fire, they came out pretty good. Amen. They made it through. Do you know your kids are going to have to weather some storms to make it for God? They have to be trained for toughness. I'm sorry, we're going to get to it in a couple of weeks on this child rearing and chaining us up about training up a child. We have got to train children for toughness. Amen. 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 This world don't owe you nothing. And it's only going to give you heartache, and you better learn how to deal with it. Amen. Be trained for toughness. Paul told Timothy, endure hardness, not find a safe space. Amen. Their safe space was the fire. Give me an amen on that one right there. That was their safe space. They were in the fire. That's the safest place they could have been. Your kids are going to have to weather the storms of peer pressure. Everybody else is doing it. Hello? Everybody else is doing it. They're going to have to weather the storms of sinful opportunities. I think of Joseph as a young man with nothing to lose, with every wrong in his life, that he had an opportunity to sin, and it only had been known between him and Miss Potiphar and yet one other person, his own God. And he said, I cannot sin in the eyes of my God. Amen. They're going to have to learn how to deal with the storms of personal failures. I love our young people. And they won't be offended when I say this. I expect them to mess up. And I expect you to be there to help them get back up. Amen. Amen. I expect that. I expect, we got a bunch of youngins all down in our junior church and nurseries and coming in nurseries. And I don't know what we're going to do with all of them. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. But I want to tell you something. I expect within the next 2 or 3 years somebody to really blow it. Somebody's going to make some really big mistakes. I'm talking about there's going to be some embarrassment to some parents. There might be a little shame, and we don't celebrate it, but we're going to help pick them back up. Amen. 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 We're not going to be those kind of Christians that are too good to help other people. Somebody give me an amen on that one right there. But they're going to have to learn how to deal with that, personal failures. They're going to have to deal with the storms of an antagonistic adversaries. These young men and Daniel himself, their whole history, what we know in is that people are always against them, always against what they stood for, and always trying to get them into trouble. The Bible says of Daniel that the only thing they could catch him doing was right, so they made right wrong and made wrong right. What does that sound like today? Somebody give me an amen right there. See, praise God. There's going to be antagonistic adversaries coming at them and chewing on them and trying to get them to mess up and trying to, when they do stand for their God, when they do stand for the truth, to knock them down when they do. They're going to have to weather the storm of cultural collision. We have right here in Daniel 1 and Daniel chapter 3, two different cultures colliding. We had the Chaldeans versus the Jews. Most of the Jews went with the Chaldeans. But there was a few boys. There was a few that said, no matter what culture tells us to do, we're going to stand on our dietary laws, we're going to stand on our convictions, and we're going to stand where God tells us to stand. They withstood the storm of a cultural collision. That is happening right now. There is a culture that says, go this way and do this and think that. And then we got the Bible which says, go over here. Yeah, let me tell you how to find out how to do what's right. Look at where the world is going and go opposite. Amen. Amen. Just look that way and go that way. Somebody give me a praise God on that one right now. I'm telling you, your children are going to have to weather some storms. They're called crisis points. Your children are going to face them. Our young people are going to face them. Our little babies are someday going to face them. And I want you to know that just like these Hebrew boys facing their crisis points, every child raised in a Christian home will face some storms as well. There's going to be a crisis point of faith. These crisis points are usually accompanied by the following questions. And I say this because I ask myself these questions. I never verbalize them. But I sure did spend a lot of time thinking about them. Can I say this? And I love our young people. I love them dearly. I fought tooth and nail for them. I love them. They spend a lot more time thinking than you think they do. They're just afraid to ask you some questions because somehow asking a question might be seen as rebellious or wrong. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But I want to tell you something. There are some crisis questions that every one of these young people are going to face, and you probably had them too. If you grew up in a Christian home, there's questions like this. Is the faith that I've been handed a valid way of living? In other words, is this valid for my adult life? I understand for the Sunday school and the Bible lessons and the this and the that, but is this actually a way I want to live my adult life? That will come. There will be a situation that brings about that question. Questions like, are the inconsistencies in the lives of my authorities their character flaws, or are they also God's? I am a representative of God to my children. You are too. All my children know of God is what I teach them and the way I live, and the way I live is louder than what I teach them. But I have inconsistencies in my life. And your kids are going to sit there and say, well, my parents say this, my authorities say, God says this, and he's a God of absolutes, but they're not totally absolute in their life. And it's going to bring about a crisis in their life, and they're going to have to answer that question. They're going to have to answer that question, can God be fully trusted? That's really what it boils down to. These young men had the question answered. God can deliver us, but if not, we're trusting them for the outcome. Somebody say amen. Amen. Another question, another crisis point, a storm that these storms are going to bring about in your kids' lives. How do I know that what we believe is the truth? Lots of people claim to have the truth. In fact, even those who are deceived claim it's the truth because they think it's the truth because they've been deceived into it. Amen? They believe that. In other words, your young people are asking this question, is this the only way to view life? I mean, how do I know that the truth that I have is the truth? When Buddha claimed the truth, Gandhi claimed the truth, and all these other folks, and Islam claims truth, and all these other ways, and all these other quote-unquote culture or Christianity things, they all claim truth. What is actual truth? Your young people, although they might be pew, 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 and you might look at them and say, hey, how you doing? And they respond with, they are actually going to ask themselves a question one day. Would you look up in here? They're going to ask themselves, is this right here, this Bible that I've been taught from before I was even born, there came a point in my life as I heard it, and I said, is this the absolute truth? Amen. Your young people are going to wonder that. Right. See, I wasn't a doubter. I've been raised in church. But there came a point when I had a word of God, and I sat there and I looked at it, and I said, how do I know that this is the truth? Another question they're going to ask. They're asking it, what am I missing out on by living this way? I know Christianity isn't simply do's and don'ts, but there are do's and don'ts. Amen. True. That's right. Amen. There are don'ts. There are some thou shalt nots and some thou shalts. Amen. Amen. Amen? There are do this and don't do that. I remember as a young man thinking, okay, this is what my parents teach me, and this is what I'm hearing at the church, and I'm hearing at our Christian school. What am I missing out by doing it this way? It was a question. It was an honest question. Anytime you say don't do something, your flesh says, why not? That's why you got to be careful about being a rule maker. I mean, you wonder why you're having so much struggle. You ready for the kids? You're going to like this, and y'all will high-five me on here. Y'all got too many rules and not enough truths. Somebody give me an amen on that one right there. What am I missing out by living this way? When the Hebrew boys said, and Daniel said, we're not going to eat that or drink that and not going to do all that, they had to wonder what it tastes like. I wonder what it feels like. I just want to try it one time. I just wonder. I often wondered, what is it like to go to a school dance? Because I grew up in a home where Christians didn't go to school dances. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, all three of you. We didn't go over there and do all that jump jive and all that stuff. We did not do that. Amen. There was reasons. Our bodies were not ours. Somebody give me an amen on that one right there. Amen. Hello? You say, where are you taking our youth group? Just do the Bible. Somebody give me an amen on that one right there. We didn't do all that business and all the stuff that came out. And I often wondered, what would it look like if I just went to a dance? Well, it'd be embarrassing. I can tell you that much right now. It'd look like a broken goose. You know, I mean, it would not look right. But I can tell you this. I just wonder, what am I missing out? My friends go over here and do this. And people I know go over here and do that. And we didn't do that. What am I missing out on? Maybe I need to experience that when I, quote unquote, get on my own. You are deceiving yourself if you think your young people are answering that question, asking that question. And by the way, it's a valid question. Another question your young people are asking is, why do we do the things we do? Why? Why do we do the things we do? They want to know. Yo, young ones, grab this one right here. Thank you. Don't wrinkle it. All right, go put it up somewhere, please. Thank you. Thank you. Are you going to hold it for me right there? Thank you. Put it on the other end next to yours. Appreciate you. Amen. Pay you double. Why do we do the things we do? Why do we go to church when the doors are open? Why do we give 10% at least of our income that daddy worked for so hard? Why do we give that? Why do we do that? Why do we pray before we eat? before we go to bed? Why do we pray about decisions? Why do we do that? Why do we do that? These questions of what is the motivation behind all of this? What exactly is the end game? I don't claim to be the smartest guy in the world. I never have been and never will be. But I often wondered and extrapolated. We do this and do this, but what's the end game? What's it all about? Why are we doing this, Mom and Dad? I never really asked them some different things. I wondered, though. They would have asked, by the way, young people, your parents would be glad to answer your questions. They'd be glad to answer your questions. And if you're not glad to answer it, you need to act like you're glad to answer it, okay? Somebody come and ask you a question. You say, I'm glad you're wondering about that, and I don't have time to answer that. We'll answer that in 17 years. But bottom line is this. Why do we do this? I could have asked my parents that, and yes, we were taught some things, and yes, it was all that, and yes, I was taught often, but I'm just telling you, these are crisis points that come up in young people's lives. Why are we doing what we're doing? And I want to tell you something. These questions must be answered. You cannot let your kids answer these questions on their own. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left himself bringeth his mother to shame. Kids who answer their own questions always get the answers wrong. They always fail the test. Give me an amen on this one right here. Don't y'all be scared to answer on that one right there. They always get the answer wrong. It's not because they're hell-bound. It's simply this. They don't have the wisdom, the discretion, and the discernment. That's why you're the parent. That's why people are the parents. You're supposed to be raising up these kids. Cannot let your kids answer these questions. God forbid. I need to let them figure it out. They can't even brush their teeth consistently. Think they can handle a phone, but they can't make their bed every morning. I don't know what you're talking about. Hello? You cannot let your kids figure this stuff out on their own. That's why you are the parent. You can't let somebody else teach them. And somebody will. Amen. He that walketh wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Trust me, somebody will answer those questions. Right. Last night I'm so disturbed in my spirit about this scourge of abortion and then all the different things that are going on. I went to bed this morning at 4:48. I was so just bothered in my soul as I began to look at what's going on and all the things and all the countless young people and lives that are destroyed. I began to look at that and I wrote this down in my notes. Satan will provide a teacher for every life lesson. Tuition ain't free. The cost is just deferred. He will give your kids answers that they have questions for. They won't be the right ones, but he'll give them to them. Amen. Trust me, every answer, every question will be answered. Amen. Amen. You can't just let them figure it out, and you can't let somebody else teach them, and you can't just tell them. You must show them. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Let me say this, parents. I know my parents were not like this, as far as I recall. But I want to tell you something. There are points and times with my children when I ask them, when I tell them to do something, and the immediacy, maybe there's a danger or it has to get done, I say, I will tell you later, you just do it. That is their job to respond in obedience to that. Amen. Not five times later, not even two times later, that time when I told them. Anything after time one is disobedience, and that's coming to y'all, by the way, coming real soon. We're going to have to define what disobedience is. It's not doing what is said, when it is said, in the spirit that it is said. But anyway, I'm getting off ahead on that one. Somebody give an amen on that one right there. But I want to tell you something. Your kids do need a why. They need a why. They need to know why. What's the reasoning behind all of this? I grew up in a hunting home. Somebody say amen on that one right there. I grew up in that. And you say, oh, weren't your parents just afraid of all these kinds of things and your sisters growed it out? My sisters were out there doing it, praise God. I mean, they were out there, they were all this. We learned something called gun safety. Yeah. Okay, that's what you do when you harvest an animal. That sounds better. Okay. I've never harvested an animal. I've harvested some corn. I've killed me some animals. But anyway, I've never done that. But here's the thing. I was taught from a young age, this is why we point it this direction. This is why we don't put our finger on the trigger. This is where this was. This is why you don't touch this. And I taught the why. You know your kids need whys? He said, well, they're in my house. They're eating my food. You brought them in. That's your responsibility. It is a privilege on their half, but it's a responsibility on yours. If you brought a child in, you need to give them the information. Somebody give me an amen on that one right there. Your kids need a why. They need to know why we're doing this, why we believe this, why we believe that. My kids, another day, we were sitting there talking about the Bible, and we were going through some things, and one of my boys said, "Why do we, Daddy, why do we only use the King James Bible?" And I said, "Well, look over here and look at this one." I pulled up something on my phone. There was a big thing missing. And he said, "Well, that's not right." I said, "I answered him a why. I gave him a why." Give me an amen right here now. I gave him a why. There was something missing. Gave him a why. Why does mama act this way? Why do we do this? Why don't you do that? Why don't you go over here? There needs to be a reason for it, not just because daddy said so. Daddy said so will only work up to a certain age. It only works for so long. Then the bluff is off. Okay? And the bluff is off. But I want to tell you something. It'll only work for so long. Your kids need a why. If your kids are going to pass the test, they got to get these questions answered. Amen. I want to give you this morning three reasons on why you must fireproof your kids. I want you to go back to the book of Daniel, chapter number 1. Daniel, chapter number 1. We'll be alternating between chapter 1 and chapter number 3 for the next couple of weeks. There are three reasons why you got to get your kids prepped for the test. Prep for the test. You know, every good teacher prepares their kids for the test. If everybody's failing, I taught for a couple years, I grew up in the home of teachers. Here's something I figured out. If everybody's failing the test, it's generally not the student's fault. Somebody's not been teaching something right. Give me an amen on that one right there. That takes a little personal responsibility, don't it? But yeah, if 70% of the class is failing the test, then evidently the information's not being given out correctly. Amen. Amen? And so let me give you three reasons why this morning, why you must fireproof your kids, why you must get them ready for the big test in life, for every test in life. Why? Number one, you cannot insulate your children from evil or from temptation. You cannot insulate your children from evil or from temptation. I like to call this the Rapunzel doctrine. Maybe if I put them up in a big tall castle and nobody can get to it, maybe then they can pass the test. Daniel chapter number 1. Did I tell you to get there? I hope I did. The Lord gave verse number 2. Jehoiakim and the king of Judah into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels, verse 2, into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the, what's the next word? Children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Let me just pause right here. These boys' parents, no doubt, had every intention of providing their children the best they could with the most they could for as long as they could in an environment free from danger and unnecessary hardship. That was the plans when they brought these kids in. These kids grew up well. You need to know that. Daniel probably had some royal line in him. Hello? He probably did. These kids were brought up well. They had a good, controlled environment is the point I'm trying to make. Their parents had made every effort they could to make sure that they were safe and secure in their homes. You do that, don't you? Last night, no hoot owl got up at my house. Hoo, hoo. Well, my dog had never heard that. And I don't think it was the lab trying to hunt him or the Rottweiler trying to protect us, but either one of that, he did not like that. So at 3:30, I heard the growl. This was not the, hey, I'm hungry, I want to play thing. This was, there's something in our vicinity that needs to be got. Well, I was up, and I went looking. I wasn't going to wait for the evil to come into my house. I was going to take some evil to the evil. Somebody say amen right there. I was going to do something about it. But here's the thing. You can protect your house from evil all you want, but eventually evil come knocking at your door. There was a day when evil came to the nation of Israel. A day when their idyllic life was wrecked and it was ruined. And when everything they had prepped and prepared and planned for, all of that was thrown out the window. And whether Daniel and his parents, those boys' parents were killed off, which a good chance they were, or whatever was done with all of them, whatever it was, they said bye-bye to those kids. They could not insulate or protect them any longer. It is true that our world is filled with evil. And yes, I want to keep my children from being influenced and molded by this world, especially in the formative years. But I want you to know something. You cannot insulate them 100%. Do your best. Don't not try. Give me an amen right now. Look up this way. Don't not try and keep it, but you cannot insulate your children from evil temptations and evil influences 100%. Satan is extremely well-versed in tempting even the greatest of men and getting even into the best of environments. Garden of Eden. He can get in even to the best of environments. He doesn't need much to work with. Remember, he stole the world by messing with one rule. He stole the world by just changing one rule up just a little bit. He doesn't need much to work with your kids. That's what I'm trying to tell you. One little bit of error, one little bit of this can send them on a path over here. I'm just trying to tell you, you can't insulate like you think you can. Number two, I don't even know what point I'm on. Your children have bad influences in their life. You. Sinners being are raising sinners. Hello? Sinners are raising sinners. I could keep everybody out there in the whole wide world away from my kids, but they've got a chief of sinners dealing with them right now every day. Their own daddy. I'm trying to tell you, God forbid, gentlemen, God forbid, can we step up a little bit? Quit bringing evil into your home, but you're going to. Don't bring the accursed thing into your house. That might mean you sometimes, amen, I don't know. Your children have bad influences in their life. Let me tell you something else why you can't insulate your children 100%. They don't need anyone but themselves to ruin their lives. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Paul said, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but to how to perform that which is good I find not. You understand that your children, we got these little babies now, and I saw Denise somewhere, she about due any time, all right? Denise would be wonderful, like right now was the time, amen? I'd be blessing right there, she's sitting around. Hey, these beautiful little babies, and they are gorgeous, and they are beautiful, and you know I'm baby crazy, I love babies. But they already got sin nature. I remember the first time my daughter lied to me. She's 3 days old. What's wrong? Okay. Okay. Nope, that's clean. Okay. Feet. Okay. Everything's great. What's going on? Pick up. What? That was a lie? There wasn't nothing wrong. I told my wife, she just lied to us. Just lied to us. Broke my heart. But the bottom line is your children don't need anyone but themselves to ruin their lives. Amen. Acknowledging this would help some of y'all's parental strategy. Your little angel doesn't have a few rough edges. Your little angel is rotten to the core. Amen. I'm sorry. I got to say it. Your sweet little sweetie pie is an angel. Remember, a third fell. But the bottom line is this. Foolishness, again, is bound in the heart of a child. It's bound in their heart, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Amen. You're not working from a good deficit. You've got a negative deficit with your children. Somebody give me an amen on that right there. They're not a scourge. They're not a problem, but they're sinners. That's what's inside of them. You need to recognize that. It's not, oh, I need to keep them away from here and keep them away from him. Yeah, you might need to do that, but you can't keep them away from themselves. You better fireproof them. I like to go over to the Chick-fil-A from time to time. Amen. Amen. I like to go over there to Chick-fil-A about 10 o'clock. Don't y'all do it because it'll ruin my peace and quiet. But I like to get this back. They have free Wi-Fi and you can plug your stuff in. I study good with noise, believe it or not. Absolute silence kind of drives me nuts. I need something going on around me so that I can think. All right? And so anyway, I like to go over there and I get my books out and I lay it up. I stack my sauces perfectly. I get the three of this and the three of that and the three of that. I lay all that out right there. I move everything over. Put my sweet tea, double up to large right there, light ice right there. I get my sauce for my waffle fries. I lay out my spread. I lay out my books. I lay out my Bible and I read and I do that. I like that. It's a quiet time for me. The other day, I went to my usual time and my usual place. Evidently, the Real Housewives of Granite Bay had showed up. They must have coordinated their outfits. It was, I'm going to wear my daughter's clothes today. I'm just being honest. I'm surprised they could drink their coffee. Hello? It was wild. I couldn't believe it. One false hiccup could have spelled disaster for everybody. I look into the play area as I'm walking with my little Chick-fil-A sandwich and my chicken noodle soup and my waffle fries, and it is an absolute pandemonium in there. It looked like a zoo or a prison riot. I couldn't tell. I guess a zoo is a prison, but I still could not tell. It was wildness going on there, kids crying and spitting and all these kinds of things. They were coming out crying, and some, literally, this is the truth. I'm not telling you all the truth right now. Some kid tried to come up and take my waffle fries. That's the truth. What parent does not teach your kid not to take stuff from other adults? Come up and just walk up to my table with his dirty, grimy hands that he hadn't used the Santa soap on, and he come up there and try to touch my waffle fries. That's the truth. I looked at him, I said, no. Go over there, grab my sweet tea. That was danger. Grab my sweet tea. This is the truth. One lady was yelling from her seat to a kid inside of the enclosure. He was the only one that couldn't hear her. Then the drive-thru heard her. Stop it, Junior, stop it. And they're all laughing about all this craziness. I'm talking about weird stuff. There was kids in there playing without their socks on. If y'all one of those parents let your kids play in the playhouse without your socks on, you're the worst. Okay, don't do that. Put the socks on, and they can't be 42 in there. All right, I'm just telling you the truth now. I'm watching all of this happen. You know what everybody was doing? All them ladies were laughing at it. He has allergies. He don't have allergies. He's disobedient and he's a sinner. Somebody give me an amen right here. What they didn't want to acknowledge, I could tell everybody. I know I offended some of you, so I did my job today. Every one of these ladies thought their child was perfect. They thought that was cute. There's the kind of people that think when a young child sasses their mama, they think that's cute. That's not cute. Amen. Hello?
Come on, Brian.
Oh, that's not cute. They were the kind of folks that thought fit throwing is uncontrollable. They're tired. We'll put them to bed. Yeah. Don't make excuses. Fit throwing is controllable. Yeah, we have checks and balances in this house of ours. One of the questions, you might not like it, starts out like this. You want something to cry about? I'll give you something to cry about. That fixes a lot of fit throwing. Amen. I'm telling you right now, you cannot insulate your children from evil or from temptation. It's all around them and it's all in them. You better fireproof your kids. What they won't acknowledge is the sinfulness that has passed on to all men. Amen. Are y'all still with me in Daniel? I'm surprised you're still sitting here. I love you in the Lord. Amen. Thank you. I'm telling you right now, you got to fireproof your kids. Let me give you a number two here this morning. You can't hide or dumb your kids into safety. Children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science. They got me beat. And such had ability in them to stand in the king's palace and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. These were well-trained young men. These were intelligent young men who had had their intelligence exercised. Hello? You know what one of the accusations against Christianity is that you don't have to be a thinking man. That's nothing further from the truth. There's stuff in here that nobody can figure out, and they thought about it a long time. There's a major problem, I understand this, let me say this, with overexposure. You will vex your children's soul by seeing and hearing. If they see and hear stuff, it will vex their soul. Amen. That is a major problem. Overexposure. You know, there are things my wife and I don't do with our kids. It's not so much what the doing is okay. It's the people they'd be around and the things they'd hear and the things they'd see. They would see all of that, and I don't want to sit there and subject my children to that and incite something that's already lying inside of them. Amen. Paul said to the church there in Rome, he said, I would have you wise into that which is good and simple concerning evil. That's a great parental strategy, by the way. Simple concerning evil. They don't need to know everything. Somebody get amen right there. But I am personally, and I'm going to stop with this one, I am personally worried about the lack of critical thinking skills amongst Christians.
Come on, help us, brother.
Critical thinking skills. The ability to make decisions. These young people, Daniel and his brothers and his friends, they made decisions. Hello? They were well informed. Many young people are failing a test of life because they don't even know the material that's going to be on the test. I wrote this in my notes. Probably not a good thing to say, but I wrote it, so I got to say it. The strategy of ignorance is ignorant. Well, maybe if we just sit there and they kind of float through life and they don't have any information whatsoever and they don't have to sit there and think too hard about things and we make life as simple and as clean as possible and they never, you know what you raise? You raise adults who can't make decisions. Amen. There is time and space and context with all decisions, but you understand, your young people, your children need to be able to think. Amen. Okay, they didn't go well, but it's the truth. Amen. Daniel knew exactly what was up, and he was able to find an alternative. Amen. Well, we can't do that, we can't do that. How about we try this? How did he know that eating that stuff was going to be okay? How did he know? He was real test, he had to go vegan. How did he know that he was going to go through all of that and come out looking better than everybody eating everything? He learned that somewhere. Amen. Somebody had taught him how to make an appeal and how to find a godly alternative. He had the ability to think through the situation, not like a deer in headlights. You know, young people are getting caught like deer in headlights. A temptation comes their way, they don't even know how to think about it. Amen. I may not be winning friends and influence, but I am influencing people. I will tell you that right now. This is the truth. The bottom line is this: Satan is a subtle counterfeiter, and your kids better know how to spot the fake when it comes their way. They better have the ability to make decisions and things that come their way. All right, here's my point. You must teach on everything the Bible teaches. Everything the Bible teaches, you must teach on. Everything. God put it there for you to know about it. Amen. Come on now, help me out here. Somebody taught Joseph you can't commit adultery. Somebody taught him. Somebody taught these boys not to drink the king's hooch.
Come on. Yeah.
Somebody taught them.
Yeah.
Solomon taught his son what to look for and what to run away from.
Right.
He'd look over here for this. You see that? Go all the opposite direction. Amen. When do you teach these things? Right about the time you needed to hear it. Amen. You say, when do I teach my kids the questions, the tough parts of life? Right about the time you needed to hear it. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6.
Amen.
You must teach on everything the Bible teaches. We failed miserably here as Christians. We've taught the beautiful parts of the Bible and the good parts, but we haven't equipped them to pass the test of the difficult things. Hello? Somebody give me an amen on this one right here. See, many worry about tackling the tough stuff too early. I'm most failing answering it too late. Because of your kids' sin nature, their biology, Satan subtly, they're going to have to be able to face things, fight things, and figure things out. So let me give me an amen right here. And it's your job to equip them. Satan offers the counterfeit. We haven't taught them that there's a real deal. How to spot the real deal or the fact that God has offered them the real deal. Y'all are tracking with me this morning? So Satan's going to come up and bring your children a counterfeit and you never even address what God's reality is on it.
Amen.
Forgive me.
Come on, brother.
Hyper-separatism creates the same error as hyper-licentiousness. I got that word out right. Too much area over here. Too much. Why? It's rule, never thinking about it. Amen.
Right.
You know, some of y'all have more rules about things than God does. Now, you might have some standards that help you keep a rule. That's what a standard is. The standard is not the rule. The standard helps you keep a rule. We're going to teach on that a long time. But I'm telling you this morning, that by the grace of God, you have got to tackle this tough stuff. I'm going to finish with this point. It only has 17 other points underneath it. Did you know that for every sinful pleasure, there is a righteous fulfillment? Look up here now. For every sinful indulgence that Satan offers, there is actually a righteous fulfillment for that.
Amen.
The desires for love, affection, affirmation, achievement are all God-given, God-ordained. It's us that messes those desires up. Paul said to Timothy, tell them, he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. God has given you life to enjoy, but it has to be lived in His context. Often as a young person, I leave youth rallies and Sunday school classes and church services feeling like I had failed God already because I had desires. Amen. I'm going to be as chaste as I can, but it's not just talking about physical things. I'm just talking about I wanted to achieve something as a kid. And all many times all I hear is, you dirty rotten thing to want to achieve something, this and this and that. What's wrong with you? You're self-willed and all that. But that was a desire that God has given man. Amen. Hello? Yeah. Affirmation. You know, it's not wrong for a kid to want to be loved. It's wrong for him to look for it in the wrong place. Affirmation, affection, all of these things are God-given. We got to let our kids know that there's an honorable way to fulfill each of these desires. There's a right way to do that. Somebody give me an amen right now. I don't want to lose you now. I'm almost done. The football game's longer than this morning. Somebody say amen right now. I've been preaching that long. There is an honor. I need to know. These young people need to know, and you need to know. There is an honorable way to fulfill desires. Yes. I want to say this. It's not so much the desire that's the problem, it's the fulfillment of that desire. All Satan desires is for us to illegitimately fulfill legitimate desires.
That's right.
Sin is illegitimately fulfilling a desire. We need to get those things in the right context, at the right time, and in the right way. Please listen to this. This is the most important part of this message. I'm not saying it just because it's the end, but this is a liberating truth I'm going to drive home to our young people. The desires that God has given you can be fulfilled honorably without baggage.
Amen.
But you got to do it God's way.
See,
our kids don't even know that they were created for the pleasure of God. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. That includes us.
Amen.
And worse yet, they don't even know that those that live for the pleasure of God actually get to live with the pleasure that God gives them. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I remember reading that as a young man, and I realized something. Wait a minute, this Christian life, what God has, actually could be pleasing. Actually, newsflash, enjoyable.
Amen.
Enjoyable. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand this morning. Are you going to fireproof your kids, or are you just going to let them figure it out? We're not there on how to fireproof our kids. I just want to drive home the point this morning. I got three more things to do, but we'll look at it another time. You can't keep them from every temptation. You can't keep them from thinking about and wanting to figure things out. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
They want answers. They've got God-given intellect and desires that can be fulfilled in an honorable way in God's context and God's time. And they need to be able to ask you why. My third point was simply this. You cannot prepare your kids for every situation. These four boys' parents had no idea what evil would befall their families. They had no idea about the boot camp, the lion's den, the fiery furnace. But what they did was teach their kids the truth they needed to make God-honoring decisions.
Amen.
You know, you can't prep your kid for every situation. But you can give them truth. Successful parenting is not your kids having it all figured out. That would require for you to do the same. Look this way, please. Successful parenting is not your kids having it all figured out. That would require you to have it all figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Successful parenting is giving your kids the truth and the way to figure out how to figure it out.
Amen.
Giving them principles and truths that lead into discernment that will make them make decisions. Giving them a framework by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You got to hand that truth for them to walk in it.
That's right.
Are you going to fireproof your kids? Are you going to let them come up to those tests unprepared? I want mine to pass it. I'm sure you do as well.